Father God, just bless this word tonight, Lord Jesus. Just help it minister to us all. Help it to apply to our lives, Lord Jesus. Help us to be good stewards of your word and spread what we hear, Lord, until that day, even so come quickly. Thank you in Jesus' name. The pastor talked about coming up here and not ever being nervous, and that is a glorious place to be, and that is a place that I am looking to grow to. That song I've sung for, I guess, essentially 40 years in this place. And I remember I came up here one night, I was so nervous, I forgot every single word of it. I didn't even think that was possible when you see people. You can't just forget everything. Yes, you can. But it was glorious. It was glorious. That song is the story of our life. That's kind of why I want to go over it there and just sing it. It's the storyline of our lives. It's plain and simple, clean cut and dry, or bang, however you want to express it there. Seems like the only extra lyric that could be added to that is, yet there's even more, or a better thing. As you read through those lyrics, you see ironically, excuse me, my nose running badly. You see ironically, it's not a contradiction of words, but if you're reading it in the context in which we use or recognize these words in an earthly sense, usually you don't find these words together in the same context. And the two words I'm talking about is victory and plunge. It's just two things, really, that are almost opposites of each other, kind of how we use them in context in our language. Rarely do we say plunge, the word plunge, and then after that there's some sort of victory to it. A matter of fact, most times in our language it has a kind of a negative, you know, connotation to it. You know, like plunge to your death, you know, or the stock market plunged. Or plummeted, which is a synonym for plunge as well. Other explanations in the dictionary say nosedive, dive, drop, fall, descend. Some additional definitions are fall suddenly and uncontrollably, suffer a rapid decrease in value. The origin of the word is Latin, plumbum, and it means to plummet or to lead or to lead. So we know in there where it says he plunged me to victory. We can also substitute and say he led me to victory. He led me to the cross. Christ led us to the cross. But you know what it also means, which I love this definition, is to suddenly bring into a specified state or condition. You were once a lost sinner, condemned to death, but in a moment, bam, you were redeemed. You were free in that moment. You were free. You were redeemed. That's why I love the explanation of it says that it was quickly, suddenly bring into a specified condition or state, because at that moment it was done. It was done. You were submerged in the blood and you came up redeemed with the crown of righteousness. And then the other word comes in, which is victory. And we know you have victory in Jesus. Doesn't always look like it, definitely not in the natural. You think Jesus looked like a victor hanging there on that cross? Sometimes it's a hard image to put in your eyes. Sometimes they make movies and different stuff like that to kind of give you a visual image. It's hard to look at. Really it is, but nothing about him hanging there spelled victory. He was all bloody and bruised and beaten. For the likes of people like me and you, people who betray, even deny him, he didn't look like a victor up there, not through man's eyes. Even as his most devout followers saw this and said, no, now what? We've been following this man all throughout the land. And yeah, he's told us of these things, and we've tried it here. We've tried to listen, but this couldn't be the end of the story. This couldn't be the victory that lied in front of us. Again, he's hanging on the cross, bloody, beaten, an outcast, outlandish. They said this couldn't be it. It was not supposed to end this way. But see, man sees victory different. We see victory different. Man's victory, especially down here on the earth, all our victories come from some sort of self-works. And the Lord can give you the ability to excel in things. Definitely. He's faithful to do that. But man's not rewarding that, I guarantee you. Man's not rewarding what the Lord has put in you for you to be able to excel. None of us has ever witnessed any competition when the trophy is passed out for the Christ in you. I'm yet to see that competition. It's not the Vince Lombardi Award for trust in God. I know no sport where the MVP is most valuable player. No. Man passes out worthless trinkets. Corruptible crowns, as the word calls it, right? The world's reward system is based off of best in show. Show me you're the best. Show me something. Even the dog shows. What's rewarded? The best in show. We're moved by what we see. Even Jesus, at a point, shut down the miracles, right? Said, you see what I do, and yet you still don't believe some of you. Yet some of you are persuaded by these miracles. And we know, as Pastor said, even time and time and again in the Word, the Lord delivered, there was a miracle, and boom, right back into unbelief, discontentment. It's just this flesh. It's just how we are. So the world says, show me how good you are. Show me your works are the best, and we'll crown you. We'll give you a reward or a ribbon or a championship or something. We even tried to change it a little bit and get into incorporating awards for participation or rewarding moral victories, which was nice on the surface, but man's flesh couldn't even take that. Man got upset at that. Being a coach in the past, a girls' basketball coach, me too. Hey, I want a crown or something like that. You know, I want just a little participation trophy, but... You know, that's how we're trained in this world, and the world shunned that. Because in that, there's no evidence of who's best. And again, we got to have evidence of who's best. A moral victory, I'm not able to say, I'm the best, or the other man's not able to say, he's the best. But let me remind you here tonight, family, that each and every one of us are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. More than conquerors. I don't even know what more than a conqueror is. I'd have took conquer. More than a conqueror? Now, I don't even know what that is, but we're going to find out by his grace. Maybe tonight. You are champions. We sit here champions. I remember a couple years ago, you guys might remember, and we all pray for him. There's an actor out there, Charlie Sheen. Hopefully he's getting a relationship with the Lord. But he had a famous comment of winning. I'm winning. And again, we pray for the brother. We hope he has a relationship with Christ. But look at the natural life. It's not a lot of winning there. Maybe man considered he was winning, but it's not a lot of winning there. Well, I'm telling you to take it from the Lord that you have won. The battle of good and evil has been won. We know that. Because of Christ in you. So that's victory. Christ already defeated the world. Christ is in you. That's victory. You have the very life of his only begotten son in you. And that's the only thing that he respects or accepts or acknowledges. If we go to John 16, verse 33. John 16:33, and it says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." You'll lose sometimes. "But be of good cheer, for I have overcome," or defeated, or conquered the world. Or let's just say it, won. I've won. It's done already. That victory is done. That victory is won. But there's more. Yet there is more to win. There's more to win. The high calling in Christ Jesus. Forget that green jacket they passed out today. By his grace and might, I want to wear maybe a Lampros white jersey with my name on the back. My new name. Glory to God. Yes, the battle of evil and good is won. That's done. You believe it, it's done. So you fight. You fight for the high calling in his son. The high calling. We heard a lot of things going on tonight, a lot of broken hearts. A lot of us can sit here and feel that we're defeated. A lot of us are in deep trials. They don't make sense on the surface. There might even be people looking at you, ain't no way your life is winning. Look at it. If you're here tonight, trusting, believing, growing in grace and knowledge of his son, overcoming by boldly going to the throne of grace, loving his appearing, then you're winning that too. You sit here winners tonight. The same man to which that Super Bowl trophy is named after. Supposedly he said, if you ain't winning, you're losing. Well, for surely our Lord said, if you're losing for his sake, on his behalf, you're winning. Matthew 16:25 tells us in the Gospels there. And you know, what's precious about the four Gospels, always some version of it throughout them. And this is Matthew's statement or rendition of it, if you will, that Christ said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." You want to win? You want to be a champion? Don't spend countless hours at the driving range. Don't perfect your short game. But follow Brother Paul as he followed Christ. And not only did Brother Paul follow Christ, he chased him. He panted after Christ. What did he do? Let's go to Philippians 3:8. This is what Paul had to say about all the winning and glory and trinkets and corruptible crowns that you can receive down here. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I'm suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Seems to me like everything in here is the exact opposite of what we consider victory down here. Lord just told us, you try to save your life, you lose it. But if you lose, the defeat is where the glory comes in. The defeat of ridding yourself of yourself. The defeat of not conforming to this world, being outcast, shamed, put down, hurt, through trials. Looks like you're losing on the surface. Contrary to what I'm reading. Loss. Defeat. It's one of Satan's greatest tricks to make you think you lost or you're going to lose something chasing Christ. I love how the Spirit as the Spirit speaking now, Spirit just always continually just speaking his word to us in a circle, in a circle, in a circle. And I got a lot of confirmation over that last week. It's just amazing when I'm most not questioning, but, you know, we as Pastor even said, we always want to see these different miracles and things. When I'm so moved by the Spirit is when I just keep seeing them be a testimony to himself as only the Lord can be, whether this brother said something to you, somebody played this song, somebody came up here and spoke something. That it's just amazing. Pastor was just mentioning the other day, and that's one of Satan's greatest tricks, and really it is. We just read on dung and losing your life. That's what it's chalked up to. But let's really think on what there is to lose chasing Christ. Remember, my mom used to tell me that, like, one of his greatest tricks, especially just with your friends, where you hang out, what you do, whatever, that you're missing something. You're not missing nothing. You know, when he grows in you and you get him in you and that Christ is living and that holy conviction, I like to say, because we know there's no condemnation. You realize, like, this is for the birds. This is nothing. I don't even enjoy this. And if you're full, you keep on doing it. I'm not even enjoying it. But he minds and he moves you, and you get stronger, and you wake up and you say, you know, I'm not going to hit myself in the head with a hammer today. For what? Doesn't feel good. I'm done with that. Then next week you might hit yourself in the head with a hammer, and you know what? Today you're done with that. That's victory. That's not a loss. That's Satan come in right there. You just hit yourself in the head with a hammer again. I knew it. You weren't delivered from that. That's a lie. That is a lie when you trust and let God do the mining and the chastening and the training and the growing. What are you going to lose chasing Christ? A bunch of no good friends? Sorry. And I only say that they can be the most friendliest person in the world, have your back like shoulders. They don't love Jesus Christ. They don't even have the ability to be your friend. They don't. Not viciously. They don't have the ability to be your friend. What you gonna lose? Your job chasing Christ? Cattle on a thousand hills. Cattle on a thousand hills. Gonna lose your marriage? It's tough sometimes. What stand are you willing to take? These are things that Satan dangles in front of your face to make you scared to chase Christ. My dear brother Rob Mohill, I like to call him. Rob Mountain, we was over in the gym one day. I was having the deep of a trial in there just shooting jumpers, and he allowed that brother to come in and minister to me. Boy, I was low. And, you know, you can speak to that brother sometimes about his testimony or his family and how it's came back together, and what a beautiful family, two little beautiful twin girls he has. He said, Aaron, we up there shooting. He says, when you come to God, you got to put all cards on the table. When you come to play the game, when you sit down at that table, got all the cards on the table. You can't say, all right, Lord, I came to play. Hold on. I ain't put my marriage in here, put my job in here, put my children in here, put my finances here. Well, okay, now I'm ready to play. Everything's on the table. And where we grow to learn is that's love that God makes everything on the table, because he knows what touches each one of us. And we don't realize it, even as serving Christians by his grace, we don't realize it, but they are so unimportant. The moths burn, or the moths eat them, they burn, they rust, right? Even a great marriage, even if you had the greatest marriage ever, no problems, you have a 50-year marriage, there's an expiration date on it. So then what? Then what on that day? I had the greatest marriage ever. All right, now what? Because this place ain't even here no more. What about status? You know, you lose your status. Lose your status chasing Christ. Used to be something so great and mighty in the world. Now you're that crazy Christian guy, huh? Amen. What status? For some strange reason, being highly esteemed by man and winning Jesus Christ don't coincide. Let's check out what 1 Corinthians 1:26 says. I don't see in the word where being highly esteemed and winning Christ are related. 1 Corinthians 1:26 says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." There, it didn't say any. Didn't say none, but it says not many. And just even in the natural, a musician, a passed away musician, they called him Biggie Smalls, had a song one time says, "More money, more problems." And it's just, it's the truth. Whether whatever you put in your hands down here that seems like it's getting you through, for one, now your hands are full. God can't give you anything. They're weighing you down. You're going to lose them anyways. You can't take them with you. Man's praise is fickle. I mean, sometimes I just try to sit there and say in the natural, who's the greatest person in the world or whoever lived? Like, I don't even know. Napoleon, I don't know. Shakespeare, you know, we even built monuments to people. And after a while, what is it? Just a hunk of metal sitting there getting rain, snowed on, this and that, whatever. Man, and rub him the wrong way. Rub man the wrong way, and boy, he sure is not following you anymore. Even look at our stars, and we don't even call them stars anymore. They're becoming idols. I remember Kirk Franklin said that it's not even stars anymore. They're idols. American Idol. What happens when your album's not good anymore? What happens when you're not scoring 30 points a game anymore? What happens when you're not doing whatever you're getting praised for? Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called. In Mark 8:36, we know that it says, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the world and lose his own soul?" You can have it all down here if you want. If you want to know a little bit what that's like, read Ecclesiastes. And that was in naturalism. He knew that, man, it's nothing. I love how he says you can work every day the hardest you can and build the greatest empire ever. As soon as you're gone, somebody's going to come right along and say, "Thank you. Didn't do a lick." If you are trusting in Christ Jesus tonight, if you are taking the training, taking the mining, joining him in the suffering, acknowledging your shortcomings, and again, taking them boldly to the throne, you're winning. Defeat, yes, there's going to be defeat. There's going to be defeat. The thing is, we can take defeat at our own hand, or we can take defeat at the hand from the Lord, which grows us. We can try to fix it. We can try to be a victor in this world and miss the only thing there is to win. Or we can take defeat from the hand of God, let it grow us up, mature us in Christ, grow in grace and knowledge, and thrust us into the most exalted victory there is. A seat next to Jesus Christ on the throne. To be a champion to rule and reign forever. That championship goes nowhere. You look in the books, it's there, champion. Hall of Fame. Let me give you a quick formula. I came up with this formula in my head. I don't know if it makes sense. This is the formula for victory and a defeat from the Lord. Acknowledge the failure or presumed defeat. Acknowledge it. Man, I blew that one. I blew that one. Apologize. Do you know it was just till recently that I was still... And no shame to nobody, because I know it's just a way of speak of context. I was asking the Lord for forgiveness in my prayer when I messed up, and we all know that mentally we know that's not necessarily, but just your mouth saying it almost becomes a kind of habit or whatever, and you are seeking forgiveness, but you're already forgiven, so you don't ever have to ask God for forgiveness. But apologize. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Formula. I blew that one. Lord, I'm sorry. Be quick. God's quick in everything, right? Be quick to make amends. Be quick to apologize. Next step, ask Lord to give you a clear vision of what he's trying to show you or where he's trying to grow you in that defeat. Own it. The only time it's going to be defeat if you don't learn something and grow from it. Don't get rigid. Man, I blew that one. It's humbling, it is, but that's why you know man didn't design it. Man couldn't have designed it. Ask the Lord to give you a clear vision of what he's trying to show you and where he's trying to grow you in that defeat. Next step, be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful for the defeat, for the shortcoming, that you were humbled, that you were embarrassed, that you were put in your place, if you will. Be thankful. It's the Lord putting you in your place. After that, give praise. And that's my formula. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Right? Isn't that what pastors say? Man, I'm telling you, family, don't let the enemy tell you the lie that when you mess up or fall short or didn't walk around today as the most sanctified Christian ever, that you're defeated. You're sanctified through the blood, not works. The world, unfortunately, and even the carnal Christian, the Pharisee, tries to judge the believer, don't they? Try to judge us believers. Try to put us in some sanctified box. Oh, you're one of those Christian people, huh? You didn't just lose your temper, did you? Yeah, I did. You didn't let a little curse word slip out there, did you? Oh, I'm sorry, I did. Maybe it's me, I don't know. Cut somebody off in traffic? Again, I'm sorry. There's not this continual cemented smile on your face? Because it's tough sometimes, right? Be smiling in here. It ain't always going to be here. We want to wear the joy of the Lord on our face if we can, so we have an answer for every man. But, I mean, you're human, man. Come on with this fake stuff, man. You're human. You're human. Anything you do, he's the one who's going to do it. That continual smile, cemented face, I'll add in quickly. I believe Rob told me the same thing one time, and it was just about, don't take yourself so serious and stuff, but he said Pastor Hill was up here one time, and he told a joke, and no one laughed. And Pastor said, if some of y'all smiled, your face would crack. And then in the wonderful way that Pastor would, he said, but I love you, though. You're human. You're human. And no, not that we continue in sin that grace may abound or frustrate the gospel, but any good works come from falling more and more in love with Jesus. Pastor just said it. And the side effect, you know what the side effect is? Is a continually sanctified life. And it's not by works. It's just by falling in love. And you know what? It's like things start to drop off. Yeah, that dropped off. You get light. You get light till you float on out of here. You're sanctified, and that life changes from glory to glory into the very image of the one and only perfect Jesus Christ. I tell you, family, right now, in the natural, I have never failed on a daily basis using Aaron's visions in my life than I am right now. But by his grace. For as much as that's happening, I'm growing at an exceedingly increasing rate with my bridal vision, my prayer, my thanksgiving, my praise, my faith, my relationship, my table for two. Who am I to question the means that got me there? I can't do it. Just take it. He said we're perfect in his son. Take it. Believe it. Let the grace grow you. The victory is in the fire. The victory is in the valley. The victory is in the desert. It is in the whale's belly, in the pit, in the lion's den. How the Spirit speaks, just as Pastor said again, and it ain't Pastor, I don't mean to keep saying that's the Spirit, but he just said it a second ago, I got it right here, in front of the whole town, on your knees, getting ready to be stoned. That's where the victory was. The victory is blind on the road to Damascus. That's where the victory is. In Jesus Christ, the victory is mine. I had a brother that came and visited church the other day. He's out of town right now. We pray he comes back and visits and called me out the blue the other day, and we've been fellowshipping, and it's been a precious thing. And he called me the other day, and he got on the phone, and he says, I've never been hurting like I am right now. I've never been going through this, and I never felt this way. He has some things going on with his family that hurt, that are deep. Says, I never felt this way. I never hurt this way. I've known this man for 30 years. He said, I hurt so bad, Aaron, all I do all day long is just talk to Jesus and pray. Y'all didn't hear me. He said, all I do is talk to Jesus all day and pray. He didn't even know what he was saying. I said, what are we on the phone for then? You're winning. Any players? Deb, can appreciate this. As we wrap this up, I want to share this with you. The growth is in the defeat, is in the trial. You might not see the results then, but trust, be patient. Try my little formula, my little algorithm. And you see the growth and what it did on the outside, on the other end. Comes out the other end, and it grows fruit and it spreads everything. A quick example I'll give you, and Deb can attest to this. When I first picked up the guitar to play it, I would play, and you start out basic and try to learn different chord shapes and different things like that. And you know, obviously when you're brand new, you're not getting them. You gotta learn, and you gotta work, and you gotta grow all that stuff, But yeah, of course you want to pick it up right away and just be killing it. Doesn't work that way. Stand back there. You know what I'm talking about. When you're trying that chord shape or whatever it is, muscle memory for your fingers to go where they need to be. It's frustrating to get it right then. Like, especially if you're learning something and you don't. At least I didn't. And you get frustrated. And you know what? I'm defeated. And I put the guitar down. Have no nerve picking that thing up to try to play. Did you just see the chord shapes I tried to make and I didn't get near one of them in there? And you know what the craziest thing is? And this is just in the natural. This is just how muscle memory works. Do you know the next time you go to pick up the guitar, bam, now you play that chord. The same chord that I was just struggling with that I didn't see no progress when I was actually trying to do it, now the next time I went to pick it up, bam, it's coming naturally. The growth was in the defeat. You were learning that chord as you were thinking you were being defeated, but little did you know that your muscles, all they were doing was trying to remember where it's at. And they remember and they record it. And then when you come back, they say, hey, I remember that. Let me help you out a little bit. I remember that. Let me start heading over that way for you because I know what you're trying to do. You know, we got an amazing thing going on here. I don't know how it works, but I know what you're trying to do. But the Lord just used that to show me, and it's amazing. So now I learned that, you know, when I'm practicing this and that, whatever, I might not have it, But when I go to pick it up next time, a little bit of muscle memory, and it falls into place. And I say, hey, all right, I'm getting a little better with that chord. And it was in the defeat of me trying to learn the chord that I thought I didn't get it. But out of the other end, the results were shown. Why does the Lord do it like this? For one, it dumbfounds man. He uses the wisdom of man to dumbfound him own self. For two, God's ways are not man's ways. One of the most beautiful parts of it is it helps facilitate the ridding of ourselves. He must increase, and we must decrease. Mainly, it shows us how much we need him and just how able he is to meet that need. It has us be partakers in the sufferings that promise us glory, promise us reigning. And lastly, it glorifies God. Run, fight, be victorious. We'll end with a last verse on what does that ultimate victory look like. We may not have that victory down here. We may suffer several defeats, but what does that ultimate victory look like? So we'll close with Revelation 3:21. What is victory? Overcoming. What does he say in 21? To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and then sat down with my Father in his throne. Yeah, Revelation 3:21. And I had it in the I put it down in the Amplified, but it advises us of the one who's victorious. That's what we get. We get to sit on the throne next to Christ and rule and reign with him as he takes it. When he reaches ultimate victory, when he takes his place on the throne, all he wants is to have his bride sit next to him. And as joint heirs, we have one too. And that's it, and it's done, and it's a wrap, and it's forever. And praise God that he tells us that over and over and over and over again in this world, just round in this word, just roundabout, roundabout, roundabout in a circle. You believe it, you have victory. You chase it, you have ultimate victory. Praise God. I appreciate and sharing this word with me tonight. Sister Debbie, you want to dismiss us?